Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Thank God for the word of redemption. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And then in the last 3 weeks, we've been studying on remission of sins, forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. They're one and the same. Forgiveness is remission of sins. Remission of sins is forgiveness in the light of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And then in the last few days, we've been studying the place of repentance in the gospel. Today we are going to be laying this aside for a while. Repentance. We're going to study it today again and then lay it aside for a while. We'll come back to it some other time. Repentance. What's the role of repentance? And what is the repentance that is found in the gospel of Jesus? Just like Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, verse 17, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Let me say this to you. One of the essence of studying God's word is being able to teach others. Hallelujah. Many times people are just immersed into the idea of learning God's word for themselves, which is very good. Beautiful. I mean, it's good to learn God's word so you can grow. It's good to learn God's word so you can mature in your knowledge of the Son, so you can develop, you know, and nurture the relationship that you have with the Father and treasure that relationship so you can come into a more precise understanding of the life and the relationship you've come to share in the Son. Hallelujah. That is very good and commendable. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be able to grow, that you may grow thereby. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So spiritual growth is a major reason for desiring the study of God, desiring to study and to know the word of God. Hallelujah. Acts 20:32. So then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. But let me say this. Bible now says in 2 Timothy 3:17, it says, you know, I'll start from 16 again. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. One of the major things you are expected to do as a Christian is to teach others that which you have been taught. One of the good works you were created for in Christ Jesus is to be able to preach and teach the word of God. Hallelujah. So as you receive the knowledge of God's word, as you receive the teaching of God's word, you are under mandate, you are under responsibility to bring others into that light. That's the reason for much study. Hallelujah. That's another major reason why we study the word of God in depth. You must be able to explain these things to others without any shade of doubt. Glory be to Jesus. With all confidence and authority. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to study again the place of repentance and what repentance is in the gospel of Christ Jesus. So far, we've seen that repentance is believing, is having faith in Christ Jesus. And a sinner cannot repent towards God without having faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Repentance is not character modification. Repentance is not a change of conduct, a change of lifestyle. A change of lifestyle is a product of spiritual growth as it is in Christ. We need to restate this over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. An unbeliever is not called to change his lifestyle. He's called to believe in the gospel of Christ. He's called to turn away from his unbelief as an unbeliever to having faith in Christ by which he becomes a believer. Hallelujah. So, after he believes in the gospel and is given the gift of eternal life, we can now be talking about a new lifestyle which will emanate from the new life he receives or he has received and he has found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the man is required to live a new lifestyle to start displaying and showing forth and expressing a new lifestyle because he has received a new life. Hallelujah. Consequent upon receiving the gift of eternal life, he is expected to show forth a new lifestyle. Hallelujah. Let's see how this is taught in scriptures one more time. Quickly, book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 from verse 17. Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, being because of the blindness of their hearts. Have you seen this description? Do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. Have you seen? Because they are futile in their minds, there's a way they walk. So you can't be demanding from sinners or unbelievers a change of lifestyle according to scriptures, according to the gospel, because they are futile in their minds. He says they have their understanding darkened and that they are alienated from the life of God. So you can't be asking men who are alienated from the life of God to begin to show forth the characteristics of the life of God, to begin to display the fruit of the Spirit. Men who have not the Spirit cannot show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 19. So this instruction is coming to believers. Because you have believed, because you have received the life of the Son of God, you can do better. You can produce a new lifestyle. Hallelujah. You can showcase a new lifestyle based on the life you carry on the inside. Verse 19. Who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it is believers that are instructed to put off concerning the former conduct. So the old man has a former conduct. And a non-believer is not expected to put off this former conduct. Why? Because he still has the old life. He is still in his sins. He is still in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. But we were in that life. We've been called out of that life. Hallelujah. The Spirit at work in the world is no longer at work in us today. So we can put off the former conduct. We can refer to this conduct as former, as things that are in the past. Praise God. For the unbeliever, they are in the present. Is still under the force and the influence of sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we can't be preaching repentance to the unbeliever in this light or this way. Now this is repentance for the believer. You know, I made a distinction. I said there's repentance for sinners. There's repentance for believers. Both begin with the mind. But for the unbeliever, the repentance God expects from him is faith in Christ Jesus. A change of mindset concerning how God forgives, concerning how God loves, concerning the goodness of God. Hallelujah. That which he didn't know about God is revealed to him in the gospel. He embraces the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection. He embraces the goodness of God, the love of God, the kindness and the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he is saved. That's his repentance. For the believer, his own repentance is showing forth the new life in his conduct. Hallelujah. Showing forth the new life in his conduct, in his character. And how does he do this? By renewing his mind. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the attitude of your mind. Hallelujah. Be renewed. This transformation will come as the man begins to renew his mind with the truth of the word of God. He begins to acknowledge his newfound identity. That's what it means to put on the new man. Hallelujah. Begin to acknowledge the facts of your new identity, who God has made you in Christ Jesus, who you have become by virtue of your faith, and this will affect how you ought to live your life. Before you begin to talk about a walk in the Spirit, the believer must first acknowledge that he is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Before he begins to see or begins to talk about how to walk and produce fruits of righteousness, he must acknowledge the facts that he has become the righteousness of God. That is where repentance begins for the believer. For many believers, the way they want to repent in the area of their conduct is by struggling to repent. You are trying to repent. You are promising God not to do it again. Nobody sent you that kind of thing. Nobody gave you that kind of task. You are not to repent by promising God you'll do it again. You won't commit it again. You won't fall into sin again. That's not how to repent as a Christian. The way to repent in the area of conduct for the believer is by acknowledging your position in Christ Jesus, acknowledging every good thing that God has deposited in you, and cultivating a lifestyle of prayer. As you give yourself to this consistently and continuously, you discover you begin to produce the lifestyle that is found in the new life you have received. Hallelujah. So this is repentance for the Christian. This is not for the believer. This is not repentance for the unbeliever. Hallelujah. The unbeliever is not to repent, in the area of his conduct. Is to repent in the area of unbelief. He must be turned away from unbelief to having faith in Christ Jesus. When he becomes saved, then we can be talking about repentance in the area of conduct. Because now he has the capacity, he has the enablement to produce the lifestyle that belongs to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The lifestyle of faith that accompanies the faith we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've clarified this well from scriptures, that the repentance that is required to obtain the remission of sins is faith in what Jesus did for you and I. Hallelujah. Now, yesterday we saw how the word repent was used in the gospel account, in the ministry of Jesus. We saw how Jesus used the word repent. It was in the context of having faith in his work, having faith in him and in his work. Hallelujah. Today, let's examine the book of Acts and, you know, the epistles. How exactly did the apostles also teach repentance? The word repent is used only 5 times in the book of Acts, the Acts of Apostles. And you know, they were preaching regularly, they were reaching out to people, they were, you know, publicizing and publishing the word regularly. They were, they were making contact with people in the synagogues, on the streets, house to house. Yet, the word repent is used just 5 times. And then the word believe, the more prominent word on the lips of the apostles. Why? Because the word believe itself captures the essence of the repentance that God expects from, you know, from sinners, of the repentance that the gospel invokes in the hearts of its hearers. Hallelujah. So, of course, you won't find the word, and then in the epistles, you won't even find the word repent at all. It is not employed at all in the matter of salvation. The word repent is not used. The word believe, have faith, is a prominent word. Hallelujah. Why? Because the believing is the repentance. At 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, though, the KJV translates the word regret as repent. But then this is a totally different meaning, or a totally different word. Hallelujah. Even in the Greek and in the English, 2 different words. It's not the word repent. It's not the idea of repentance. It's the word that means regret. When Paul says, I do not regret that I wrote to you. He was talking about the Corinthians. You know, Paul had rebuked them. He had written an epistle to them where he rebuked them and called them out for their errors. So Paul is saying, I do not regret that I wrote to you that way. And then the KJV translates it as repent. Hallelujah. But then modern translations, even the NKJV, translates that word as regret. Praise God. So you won't find the word repent as used in several places in the Gospels and the book of Acts in the epistles at all. With respect to salvation, you won't find the word repent as used at all. Let's examine some of the statements made in the book of Acts, sermons, and you see the emphasis. You know, we've seen Acts chapter 2 from verse 14 to 40. We see how Peter was preaching and then was correcting the Jews and rebuking them for their hardness of heart. He was showing them how that they crucified Jesus despite the fact that it was obvious that God had tested him to them by signs and wonders and miracles. He was mighty in their midst. They knew that there was something different about this man, yet they crucified him by their lawless hands. Hallelujah. So Peter, having said all that, gets to verse 38 and says, repent. You know, at verse 37, they asked him, what shall we do? Then he says, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Repent, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. So you see that the word repent is used in the context of faith in Christ, in the context of them turning from their own belief, which they had demonstrated by rejecting the Messiah and crucifying him, to having faith in him now in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Acts 3 verse 19. Hallelujah. Bible says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Repent and be converted. You know, and this is Peter also. Peter still speaking, addressing the Jews. And then in his typical manner, he had shown them how that they once rejected the Messiah. Amen. They once rejected him. If you start from verse 13, Bible says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this man has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So, in view of all this, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent from what? From all that you did. From your rejection of Christ. From your unbelief which you displayed towards the Messiah. Repent. Hallelujah. I see that the repentance is not repentance from just from any kind of sin. Because it's showing them the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection. How that they ought to turn from their unbelief towards Jesus and repose faith in the work of Christ. Hallelujah. It goes to verse 20. You know, and then he says that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. Who was preached to you before. Have you seen? So he was preached to you before you rejected him. It is time to repent. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every man or every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 26. Pay attention. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Have you seen that being turned away from your iniquities is a blessing from God? Hallelujah. He says God sent him to bless you by turning you away from your iniquities. Who turns people away from their iniquities? God. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing. Repentance is God's blessedness given to them that receive the word of the gospel. Hallelujah. So look at this also. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Acts of Apostles chapter 8 verse 30 to 37. Acts of Apostles 8, 30 to 37. Glory be to Jesus. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? It's amazing that Philip said nothing about baptism, but baptism was already a normal tradition and the culture of the Jews. So this man knew about it. Verse 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Because all that the apostles and the church in the book of Acts, all they were expecting from the recipients of the message, all they were expecting from their audience was a response of faith in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you see, back to verse 37, Acts 8. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing is repentance. Acts 10, 38 to 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 to 44. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. Bible says, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. So the repentance that brings remission of sins is believing in his name. Hallelujah. The one that believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Hallelujah. While Peter was still speaking about the gift of remission of sins, these men had opened their hearts to receive it. The Holy Ghost came upon them. Glory be to Jesus, because the believing is the repentance. The Holy Ghost didn't wait for them to change their conduct. The Holy Ghost came upon them because they believed the gospel. Hallelujah. Acts 13 verse 38 to 41. Acts 13, 38 to 41. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. By him, everyone who believes is justified. Everyone who believes is justified. Everyone who believes is justified. Don't forget the meaning of believing. Believe. Believe actually means to think something to be true. Everyone that considers the gospel to be true is justified from all things from which they could not be justified. You know, from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Because the believing is true repentance. Glory be to Jesus. Now look at verse 40. It says, beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I walk a walk in your days, a walk which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare to you. Why would a man perish? For not believing in the work of God. For not believing in the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the only reason why a man will go to hell. Acts 15 verse 7 to 11. Acts chapter 15 verse 7 to 11. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Acts 15 7 to 11. Hallelujah. Bible says, and when there had been much disputes, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That they should hear the word of the gospel and do what? And believe. Because that's the response that the gospel demands. That's the response the gospel invokes in those who receive the message. Hallelujah. The believing is the repentance. So God, who knows the heart, verse 8, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. What brings salvation, what brings remission of sins is believing, is having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 30. I love this one very much. Hallelujah. I love this portion of scripture. So succinct and explicit. Hallelujah. You know, at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, they asked Peter, what shall we do to be saved? Peter says, repent and be converted. Of course, Peter knew that repentance to mean believe in the gospel. But for many people today, it's quite confusing until you begin to explain to them what repentance is, what repentance is not. But Paul's response is so direct. Hallelujah. It clarifies that. Not that Peter's response was not direct, but in our present day use of the word repent, it is not quite clear to a lot of people until you begin to explain it. Now look at Acts 16, verse 30 to 32. Bible says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Verse 31, very clear. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. It's not just about knowing who to believe. It's about knowing what to believe. So after they told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household. What were they sharing with them? The facts of the gospel. The facts of the gospel. What they must know. Just like Peter communicated it in the house of Cornelius. What must be known? Remission of sins, the gift of forgiveness. That which Jesus accomplished by his death and resurrection. So it's not enough to know who to believe. You must know what to believe. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Acts 26, verse 22 to 29. Acts 26, verse 22 to 29. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll read. Bible says, you know, this is Paul in front of, in making a defense in the front or in the presence of King Agrippa. Verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said will come, that the Christ will suffer, and that he will be the first to rise from the dead, and will proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Hallelujah. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Hallelujah. You almost changed my thinking. When he says, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian, what he was saying in essence was, you almost changed my thinking, my mindset concerning Christianity. You almost changed my thinking concerning Jesus. Hallelujah. To persuade actually means to induce one by words to believe. You almost convinced me, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Because that is what happens when a man receives the word of the gospel. Persuasion is born. Hallelujah. Persuasion is born. When Paul was dealing with the Galatians and the error and the fact that they had received the error of legalism and they had opened their hearts to strange influences and strange teachings, you know what Paul said to them at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 7? He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, 7 to 8. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you, because there's a persuasion that comes in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The gospel invokes faith in the hearts of men. The gospel induces people to believe. Hallelujah. To believe. They really were just seeking one response. Faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Such that those who were considered saved were those who believed. Those who were considered to have repented or to have found repentance towards God were those who have believed the gospel. Acts of Apostles, let's just run through this as I begin to close. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 4. Acts 4, 4 was really about those who had believed. That was the important thing. Acts 4, 4. Bible says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men who, you know, came about to be 5,000. Acts 4:32. Glory to Jesus. Acts 4:32. Bible says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. Acts 8:12. Hallelujah. It was all about believing, believing. Acts 8:12. Bible says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed as a priest. They believed as a priest. Hallelujah. Acts 9:42. It was about believing, because the believing is the repentance. Acts 9:42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Hallelujah. Many believed on what? On who? On the Lord. Look at Acts 11:21. It was about believing. Acts 11:21. Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Have you seen? Have you seen? Believing is how we turn to the Lord. Hallelujah. The man that believes is the man that turns to the Lord. The man that believes is the man that has repented towards God. Glory be to Jesus. Acts of Apostles chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13:48. Glory to Jesus. Look at this carefully. Acts 13:48. Bible says, Acts 10:48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. They believed. They believed. Hallelujah. Acts 14:1. Bible says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of the Greeks, believed. A great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. It was all about the believing. Hallelujah. Acts 17:11-12. Acts 17:11-12. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness and set the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Hallelujah. As well as men. Have you seen? When a man searches the scriptures and studies the word of God and pays attention to the gospel, the end point of all this is that he believes the gospel. Hallelujah. Because that believing is repentance towards God. Acts 18:8. Acts 18:8. Hallelujah. Acts 18:8. Bible says, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. They believed. They believed and they were saved. Acts 19:18. Glory to Jesus. Acts 19:18. Bible says, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Many who had believed. Hallelujah. That's in the city of Ephesus, where God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Hallelujah. So it was about believing. Believing everywhere. You see that it was always about their believing. Have you ever asked yourself before, what did Abraham do to be justified by faith? In what way did Abraham repent to be justified by faith? What exactly? What was the repentance that saved Abraham, that got him justified? And then, of course, consequently got him saved when Jesus died and rose again. Romans chapter 4. Glory be to Jesus. Romans chapter 4. Because every man repented. Every man that was justified by faith repented. So what repentance did Abraham do? What was his repentance? What did he repent from? Romans chapter 4. Glory be to Jesus. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, what then shall we say Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. He believed God. That was all. Romans 10 verse 9 to 10. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Believing, faith is the emphasis of the New Testament. And this faith is the same as repentance towards God. Repentance towards God is faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:14. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Have you seen? Believing is what happens when a man hears the gospel. That's why the Bible now says in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. At 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11, the man Paul says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Hallelujah. Believing is what follows our preaching. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Let's see a final scripture. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Bible says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him you also trusted. Hallelujah. Which is another word for believing. You trusted him when you heard the word of truth. Because that trusting in the word of God, that trusting in the work of Jesus, is the repentance that matters in salvation. Hallelujah. That's the repentance that matters in salvation. And having believed, he says, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll come to the issue of restitution, confession of sins, how often, what does it mean to confess, what are we really confessing, you know, and clarify things from the Bible. And then we'll also come to the issue of baptism in the next episode. How do these things fit into the gospel? What is their role in receiving remission of sins? I trust you've been blessed by today's broadcast and teaching. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, same time, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, your relatives, your family members, your colleagues at work, your classmates, and let's come together to have a great time again in the word of God. God's word is spreading like wildfire. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine is taking root in the lives of many. Every day, people are coming into the knowledge of the truth of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. What Jesus accomplished for us, what Christ has done. So don't be discouraged. Go ahead and share, talk about it, and you know, you might just be saving a life. Glory be to Jesus. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Have a great day of being full of the word, of prayers, of spiritual songs, of faith, of power. Hallelujah, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.